You know, Christianity, like Judaism before it, is a sensual religion. Or maybe that's not the right word. Maybe it's a sensitive religion. Or maybe it's a sensate religion. I'm not actually sure what the correct word would be. But the fact is, it deals a lot with our senses, with our hearing, our seeing, our tasting, our smelling, and our touching. We know that, for instance, when Jesus ends a parable or something, he will often say, "Let those who have ears hear." And then there's the whole bit about curing somebody's blindness and the blind see. There's the psalm, I think it's 34, that says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And Paul writes to Philippians that their gift is a fragrant offering, pleasing to God. The senses play a big role in God's explaining to us what God is all about. And sometimes these references to the senses are meant to be literal, but often they are meant to point to a meaning beyond the senses themselves. The senses are important, but more as kind of a portal through which there is a greater understanding, or portal to communicate something that the senses represent. You know, communication between people takes place through senses. That's the means we have of communicating with each other. And communication is more than just the senses, isn't it? It's the meaning that is there. For example, the senses may be a metaphor for understanding, as in whoever has ears should hear. The sense of touch, in particular, is one that comes into our play in the scriptures this morning. The woman with the hemorrhage reached out to Jesus and touched his garment. Jesus reached out and touched the little girl, took her by the hand and lifted her up. Touch, I think, has a special place in scripture and indeed in our lives. And I want to explore that a bit. Now, all the senses, as I say, can be means of communication between people, but it seems to me that of the senses, the touch is the most intimate one. I mean, you can hear me just sitting there from a distance. You can hear me. You can see me from a distance just sitting there. But if you were to touch me, you have to get up close and personal. You have to enter my personal space. And all of us have kind of around us, we think of a little space that's ours. It's like this little extension of our body that's ours. And if somebody enters that space without your giving permission, you kind of feel a little uncomfortable, don't you? If you enter that space. And the thing about touching is you can't touch somebody without joining in their personal space. Touch is intimate. Having said all that, let's go to our scripture, which you will notice is really a little play within a play. You have the play of Jesus being requested to go and heal the synagogue official's daughter, and in the midst of his going, there is the woman with the hemorrhage who comes up to him. And so maybe those two are put together in this way, in this play within a play, because Mark intended to show this connection between the touch and the healing, because they're both healing stories. They're both healing stories, but in both cases, touch is involved. In one case, it is actually the woman who reaches out into Jesus' personal space, didn't even touch Jesus himself, but just touched the cloak. But that was close enough. And in the other case, Jesus reaches out and takes the hand of the little girl and lifts her up and gives her life. I think we already know from our own experience that touch can be very healing It is a healing kind of thing. And you know in your own life that that's true, even if you've not thought about it particularly. One of my early memories in my childhood is of being sick and being in bed and my mother coming in with, I don't know, a bowl of soup, something, and sitting on the edge of my bed and just kind of caressing my forehead. At that moment, I felt so loved, so incredibly loved, that I knew I was going to be well, even though I felt miserable. My mother would, sometimes when I had a cough, she would rub mentholatum on my chest. Y'all recognize mentholatum, those of you who are, I don't even know if they do it very much anymore. But, you know, it smelled like mentholatum, I don't know. But the healing, I don't know whether the healing was from the mentholatum and that smell, those fumes, or whether it was the touch of my mother rubbing that on my chest. Touch can be very healing. It's been some 60 years since it's been demonstrated by science that babies do not thrive unless they are touched. Now, that's something I think we probably all have known for, I don't know, millennia, but it's been demonstrated nevertheless that that's the case. Babies do not thrive without touch. And touch is used in a number of therapeutic means. Doctors and nurses can tell you that part of the repertory of the healing that they do, it's not just the medicine, it's not those things, it's that reassuring touch that they can give you that says, you're going to be okay. We are on your side, you're not alone, you will be healed. That's part of the healing. We know that. There is power in touch, and our stories talk about that power. The woman who reached out to touch Jesus, or touch the cloak, just to enter that personal space because she was sure that would heal her. And Jesus felt that power of that touch. And so he was alerted. He knew that that power had been tapped, that power of touch. In our other story, Jesus reaches out not with a touch to prepare the girl for burial, which you would have expected at that point because everybody thought she was dead, but he reached out with a touch of life to heal. And that's a lot of power in that touch. Touch is powerful and it communicates something more than just the touch itself. It communicates, it carries with it healing, carries with it life. As I say, Del expected to be preaching today, and she had made some notes about what she was going to say, and included in that was a poem by Ann Weems. And she shared that with me, and I said, well, I'm going to use that. So here's that poem. It's called Touch in Church. It's in a book called Reaching for Rainbows. What is all this touching in church? It used to be that a person could come to church and sit in a pew and not be bothered by all this friendliness and certainly not by touching. I used to come to church and leave untouched. Now I have to be nervous about what's expected of me. I have to worry about responding to the person sitting next to me. Oh, I wish it could be the way it used to be. I could just ask the person sitting next to me, how are you? And the person could answer, oh, just fine. And we'd both go home, strangers who have known each other for 20 years. But now the minister asks us to look at each other. I'm worried about that look I saw in that woman's eyes. Now I'm concerned because when the minister asked us to pass the peace, the man next to me held my hand so tightly I wondered if he had been touched in years. Now I'm upset because a lady next to me cried and then apologized and said it was because I was so kind and that she needed a friend right now. Now I have to get involved. Now I have to suffer when the community suffers. Now I have to be more than a person coming to observe a service. That man last week told me I'd never know how much I'd touched his life. All I did was smile and tell him I understood what it was to be lonely. Lord, I'm not big enough to touch and be touched. The stretching scares me. What if I disappoint somebody? What if I'm too pushy? What if I cling too much? What if somebody ignores me? Pass the peace. The peace of God be with you and with you, and mean it. Lord, I can't resist meaning it. I'm touched by it. I'm enveloped by it. I find I do care about that person next to me. I find I am involved, and I'm scared. O Lord, be here beside me. You touch me, Lord, so that I can touch and be touched, so that I can care and be cared for, so that I can share my life with all those others that belong to you. All this touching in church, Lord, it's changing me. All this touching in church, Lord, it changes me. Actually, it changes us. It changes us as individuals and as a church, because touch is powerful. Touch is healing. Touch moves us towards the creation of a beloved community, one, each one with the other. Touch means each one matters. Touch means we do care. We do care about one another. We do share with one another. And this is where we learn to care and to share with each other and with the world. And I admit, at times, this is not comfortable. We aren't always sure we want to be that close to one another. But the touch we receive and the touch that we give is an invitation, at least, to be really with another, to care about the suffering of each one, and to reach out and help and heal and comfort, and to rejoice, to laugh at the joy of each other. It is an invitation to share in laughter and tears, knowing that God is present in each touch, in each smile, in each tear. You know, all that sounds really great, and I believe it to be true, but more has to be said about touch. Because touch is powerful and touch is intimate. It involves sharing personal space. But that does make it risky. Touch is not always healing. There is a potential to hurt as well as to heal. And I think we all know that not all touch is the same. Touch can communicate things other than caring. Hugs can be very loving, and hugs can be kind of creepy, you know? We know that sometimes we are really open to hugs, and sometimes not so much. There is touch that is appropriate, and there is touch that is not. Touch can be self-serving, and touch can be serving others. Touch can communicate many things, and like all communications, it can be misunderstood, it can be ambiguous, it can be mixed messages, it can be confused, it can be confusing. So care has to be taken in touching. Fortunately, we have a model that we can follow. We have a guide to touching that is very useful to it, and we see it in our scriptures today. That model is Jesus. Because the Jesus touch is the kind of touch that is going to be healing, that is powerful, but it is healing. Two things about that. And I want you to, for a moment, imagine yourself in these two stories. Because these stories were not written as history. They were not written for us to just sort of sit back and read them. They are meant for the church. They are meant to be us. We are to put ourselves in these. So in your imagination, imagine yourself as the characters in these stories. Imagine yourself as, we'll start out with the ruler of the synagogue, the official, Jairus. Imagine yourself as that person begging Jesus to come and lay his hands on his little girl that she might be healed. Imagine yourself as that woman who has suffered with a hemorrhage for years and years and years and years with no relief at all. Imagine yourself with that kind of need. Imagine yourself as the little girl, sick unto death. And imagine yourself as Jesus. Imagine yourself as the one that woman reaches out to for healing. Imagine yourself as Jesus, the one who reaches out to that little girl and takes her hand and lifts her up, says, "Little girl, get up." Several things to notice here, a couple of things anyway. One is the touch that happens is not done without some kind of invitation, as it were. The Jairus invites Jesus to come and requests him to come to lay his hands on that little girl to heal. And the woman with the hemorrhage, she initiates the touch. She says, "Oh, Lord, if I'm just close enough, I will be healed." So there's a kind of implicit invitation to touch that Jesus models here. Then the other kind of thing is Jesus touches with his whole focus on that person. That is, he is not concerned with himself. When that woman reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, he felt that. Somehow in that jostling crowd, Jesus felt that because he was so focused on healing and what that other person needed. That's what he felt. That's what he felt. When he went to that little girl and went through that crowd that was crying and carrying on with all that commotion, he paid no attention to that. That wasn't important. What he focused on, his whole attention, his whole intention was on healing that little girl. So there are two things. One is that the touch that Jesus does is always intended for the other person. It is not himself. He didn't even take credit for healing that woman. He just said, "Your faith has made you whole again. Go in peace. Be free of the affliction." That's all he said. You know, he didn't even take credit for it. So touch, the Jesus touch, and the touch I would say that we need to do as followers of Jesus, has those qualities. You touch, by all means touch. But there has to be some kind of implicit invitation. You don't hug somebody who doesn't want to be hugged, you know? But touch is there. And we do give each other signals about what's right, you know, what we desire and what we don't. And that's the other thing, is that when we go to touch somebody, it's about them. It's not about us. We are going, like Jesus, to touch with the healing, with the power of God's Spirit in that touch. And it's not about us. Now, the other person may touch us with that same kind of power, and that's great. But our intention is the benefit of the other person. It's the Jesus touch. It's the Jesus touch that we are to touch with. We really are, you know, the characters in this story. We are the ones who seek to be touched, and we are the ones who touch. And here in this place, God brings these stories to life every time we're together, when we touch each other, in the rituals of sharing the peace of Christ with one another, that touch, whatever it may be, to share that peace. And I got to say, in all the informal rituals that happen before and after the service, where, you know, you shake hands or you hug or you, all those kinds of things are also part of opportunities to receive and to give that Jesus touch to one another, to receive from one another, from our sisters and brothers, that touch of Jesus, and to give that touch to our sisters and brothers who are here with us. These are opportunities to affirm once again that each one matters. Each is important. We are involved in each other's lives because we see Christ in one another, and they see Christ in us. More than that, actually, it isn't just seeing Christ. It is receiving and giving the touch of Christ. We receive the Jesus touch from them. We give the Jesus touch to them. We are Christ for one another. Through this, we declare our faith. This is our faith in Jesus, in that touch. We are the body of Christ. Through us, the Holy Spirit acts, lifting us up, giving life, healing, for the benefit of each other and for the whole world. Because all this Jesus touching isn't just for us in this room, though it certainly is for us in this room, but it is for everybody. It is for the whole world, because Jesus reaches out to touch the whole world. Well, we have been touched, haven't we? Literally and figuratively, we've been touched. And once that happens, how can we not touch each other? Jesus has reached out and lifted us up and given us life. We have touched the hem of Jesus' garment and been healed. How can we not bring to others that Jesus touch? How can we not pray with Ann Weems, "O Lord, be here beside me. You touch me, Lord, so I can touch and be touched, so that I can care and be cared for, so that I can share my life with all others that belong to you." May it be so with all of us. Amen.